just the way God had planned it to be. Craig, thank you for reading Cold Turkey without warning. I just slipped my mind. Jim did tell me he wasn't going to be here today. And I know sometimes people want to read it through a couple times before they actually read, but thank you. I appreciate that. One thing I'm going to tell you right now off the bat, I appreciate Craig. If you don't mind me bragging on, my Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thine own lips. Right? If Craig went around saying, man, am I good, I think we should shut him down. You know? But Craig doesn't do that. Craig is sometimes the silent voice that he's there to do whatever needs to be done. And I appreciate Craig for that. And I'm very thankful that Craig is what embodies, what ought to embody the church as a whole. I've just been corrected. And Marie. Okay, you got that?
That's
true. I said it. See what I told you, ladies, this morning? Sometimes you're the forgotten piece in the background. And little do we realize that Craig wouldn't be what he is without his wife.
Right.
It's without Marie, Craig's a nobody. Right? Hey, I'll tell you what. If you're a real man, you're going to admit your wife has a great influence on you in so many ways. Just the way it is. Just the way God has planned it to be. For them to be the completer of the man. Man is missing something without his wife. And that's another message. I want to talk to you this morning about the evidence of the believer. The evidence of the believer. We see the word believed in quite a few places here in these verses. As a matter of fact, if you look at verse 1 right off the bat, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. I'll explain that verse a little bit more in depth, but I just wanted to point out the word believe or believeth in this case. In verse 5, you'll see it used again where it says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 10, we see it again. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Go back to verse 1, Deb. I want to look at this evidence of believing. I think it's reinforcing. It could be convicting. If you're here without Jesus, this could be convicting, and I hope it will be, because without the conviction of God, you really can't come to the knowledge of the truth. It's important that we understand that. But to those of us who are saved, this should be a reinforcement to us. Because there are evidences of believing. But first, I want to bring out what believing is and what it is not. Because really, the Bible speaks of two kinds of believing. I've mentioned this before, that there are two kinds. As a matter of fact, Deb, way down the bottom, I have a bunch of colored slides. You see those? We see the first one in James chapter 2, verse 19, where we see the devil's kind of belief, where it says, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. the devils also believe and tremble. Now, let me just simply elaborate on this. It's not enough, really, to believe that there is one God. It's just not enough. But it's a good start. You do well if you believe God exists. I've had conversations with a number of people that, and by the way, you'll probably encounter more of them as you go on in life, because people are pulling away from the idea of the existence of God. College kids today are up against professors who convince them that there is no God. But the Bible says that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So these professors, as though they profess themselves to be wise, are become fools for their disbelief in the existence of God. But God does exist. And if someone were to say, prove it, I'd say, ask them, prove to me he doesn't. Right? That's a good response. Prove to me God doesn't exist. Well, it's sort of a stalemate at that point. But I will say this, that the most renowned atheist in America today, Richard Dawkins, who has written numerous books attempting to disprove God, said it himself that he is only 99.9% sure that God does not exist. What does he do with that 0.1% that says maybe he does? So here's the most renowned atheist in America that cannot be totally sure. And personally speaking, I don't think there'd be a human being upon this earth that could ever attest to being totally sure God does not exist. So anybody on that ground is really on dangerous ground, wouldn't you say? So it is a good thing that one believes that God exists, but one has to keep in mind that the devils also believe he exists. The devils were fallen angels that God created to worship him, who rebelled against God and became what is known as a devil or a demon. And if anyone knows God exists, 100% sure that God exists, it's the demons. Satan himself is absolutely sure God exists. No questions. God exists. So for them to believe that God exists isn't enough, nor is it enough for any human being. So that kind of belief is the wrong kind of belief. The Christian belief, the belief that God is speaking about in 1 John chapter 5, is the next verse, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. Where the writer of the Hebrews says this to the Christians, but we are not of them who draw back. In other words, they leave Christianity. They leave the life of a Christian walk. They're drawing back. They started in one direction, but they drew back. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. In other words, back into sin. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see this? There's a difference, isn't it? You see, the one draws back into sin. And I've seen this so many times in my life. People who made professions, who said the prayer, you know, they asked Jesus in their heart, but they are none the better. They may have gone, they may have started well. They may have sat in a pew right here for weeks. But somehow, because the seed was thrown or sown on stony ground or thorny ground or whatever kind of ground that wasn't healthy for that seed, they drew back unto perdition. And perhaps all of us know of people that have made a profession that really weren't saved at all. They drew back. Now listen, just to be clear, a Christian could sin pretty badly. We see it in the Bible. I think it's disgusting, but in 1 Corinthians, here's a man that has an immoral relationship with his father's or with his stepmother. Right? I mean, that's pretty disgusting. When you think about it, that's pretty much stuff you only see in pornography. And it was in the church. Paul had to deal with it. Paul had to tell the Corinthians, teach the Corinthians how to deal with that. Was this guy a Christian? According to 2 Corinthians, he was. He repented of his immoral relationship with his stepmother and continued on. So yes, a Christian can do some pretty gross things. Whether he is real or not really all depends on whether he comes back. And so we have to look at the two kinds of faith that the Bible talks about. When we look at the evidence of the believer, the first evidence we look for is the evidence of proper believing. Verse 1, if you will. Whosoever believeth. That word believeth is a believing that is of that second type. He's going to follow God no matter what. He may sin. He may go into some deep, deep sin. But he's going to come back. And he's going to continue on because he is born of God. And by the way, born, when I see that, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. I think of what Jesus taught Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We see verses there in verses 6 and 7, I believe, that where it speaks of being born. Verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, which speaks of a physical birth. Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. In other words, he became a man. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. What we are seeing between verse 6 and 7 is that Jesus became a man, yet he is fully God. In verse 1, and he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the one who would come to take upon himself the cross to set sinners free, is born of God. Isn't that great?
Amen.
So, the first evidence is this evidence of believing. The second evidence, and I'm skipping one here that I'm going to go back to. The second evidence is the evidence of love. Right? I mean, Christians. If God is love, Christians ought to be known for love. Amen? Please somebody say, yes, I agree. Amen. We need to love. It says so. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, there should be a comma there, by the way, after begat. It's not there. Let me explain it. Oh, no, it's not there in the King James Version. It's just not there. It's too hard to understand without that comma. I don't know why they didn't put the comma in there. But to be fair, in the original manuscripts, there were no commas of any sort anyway, no punctuation. So I'm going to read it from the middle, from "and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." Okay, Deb, I want you to flip the one there. See love on that, where it says love in the slide. I don't know what color it is. It'll have ESV on it because love. Ephesians. No, that wouldn't be good. Oh, yeah, try it. No. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay, here it is. The same verse. The same verse. Okay. Testing. Yeah, okay. We're good. All right. This is the same verse. Thank you for trying to catch me. That would have looked silly being in his lap, wouldn't it? This is the same verse with all the begats and the begottens and the begets. This is in the ESV version, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is to show in a more everyday language what the King James is attempting, which they understood in 1611. But it's hard to understand today. But it says this: everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Doesn't that make sense? Okay, go back to the verse 1, Deb, and let's look at it again. "And everyone that loveth him that beget," or born, "other Christians, loveth him also," the other Christians. You see, that's an evidence of salvation. If you love the brethren. Now, when I say love, that has a definition too. Because there's four different kinds of love in the Bible. Did you know that? Whenever you see the word love, it is interpreted from four different Greek or Hebrew words. For instance, we have phileo love. We get our city of Philadelphia from that. The city of brotherly love. So phileo, it means a brotherly type of love that we would have for a brother. You know, there's also the kind of love that is, well, I'm going to have to skip that one because that one flee from me, but the Hebrews, in the Hebrew, we learn of another kind of love, an erotic love. Is there anything wrong with erotic love? Not at all. Between your husband and wife. I didn't even get an amen. There's nothing wrong. Erotic love is in the Bible. Read the Song of Solomon. You know, the Song of Solomon, those that were under the marriageable age were not allowed to read the Song of Solomon. Right, Lori? Jews weren't allowed to read it if they weren't marriageable because of the erotic nature of the book. Now, there's also this kind of love. Agape. It is the highest love one could have for another. This defines who God is. That God is love. That he is a God that everything he does out of love. Everything he allows upon this earth, he allows out of love. You and I may not understand it. My wife is in pain a lot. Some of you have had physical issues. They came upon you. They didn't get past the eye of God. They just didn't. But God allowed it out of his love for some reason. To allow you to go. I'll tell you one thing that pain does to a person. If you're truly a Christian, it will cause you to draw toward God. God, help me. God, relieve me of this. Father, I believe you can do this for me. And he may say, someday, not yet. You know? So everything God does, God is love. And there's an agape love that in our sinful bodies, in our fallen natures, we can't understand all of it. But we can be sure that the Bible teaches that. And so one of the evidences of a believer is the evidence of love, not only for God, but for his people. Those that are born of Christ love God, but they also love those that have been begotten of him. Now, let's talk about that for a moment. I'm sure I probably made people angry.
Yeah.
Got mad at me, you know. I'm usually pretty good at that. There's times, folk, I'm going to be honest. I'll just be honest, okay? You like me to be honest?
Yeah.
Thank you. Sometimes I think to myself, wow, so-and-so. I just don't get it. You know, I just don't. And in almost, there's times when I get borderline angry. because somebody, but you know what? I still love them. I'd still be there for that person if they needed me. And that's what love is. Love says, you know, Craig is my brother in Christ. And he may say something I don't like. And I may say, I'm sure it goes the other way around, right? Not just me. Maybe Craig said maybe he heard something that irks him. But I think he'd be there for me, and I'll be there for him. Why? Because love says that. We love the brethren, not based on what they do, because God loves us, not based on what we do. God loves us based on himself. I want to love Craig, I'm going to love Paul in the name of Jesus, not in their name. And so we have that evidence of love. Oh, my, the evidence of repentance. Let's talk about that for a moment. There's the evidence of repentance in verses 1 and 2. Going back, we'll get back to that in a minute. Thank you, Deb. Whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Repentance basically says this. I was going in one direction. I was against God. You born against God. But because God granted me repentance and belief of the truth, my life has been turned. And now where I despised his commandments, I want to keep his commandments. You might have been a Christian. I don't know what you were in your past life. I only know what I was. And I was not a great guy. I won't go into depth with that, other than the fact that I could attest that my direction was godless. But now, I want to know what God has to say. And I want to follow him. If he commands me to do this, I want to do it. As it is written, I am not satisfied to not live the life that God wants me to live. I'm not satisfied living this life that I'm living if I know there's something else God wants from me. And I'm not going to know that, of course, unless I'm in the scriptures. Right? Okay. Repentance. There's that evidence of turning. By the way, a person can't be saved without repentance. I said this last week, I believe. There's two things that are required in order for anyone to be saved. Belief, the right kind of belief, right? And repentance. Now, repentance, in the case of salvation, is a turning from sin, but not necessarily particular sin, but sin as a body. In other words, you recognize yourself as a sinner going in the wrong direction. You turn and you go to Christ. Now, I'll say this. I didn't know everything was a sin when I was a Christian. You know, after I got saved, I had a joint or two. You know, you, right? You light up a joint, you get high. You got this new life, and you're stoned, and you're telling your friends about Jesus. You know? I was having using marijuana for the recreation. I personally don't have any problem with marijuana as an additional thing, because I do believe there could possibly be some additional uses for it. Recreational, not so much. Because recreational, you know, it's you just enjoy being out of your mind. Out of your proper mind, you know? And I don't think I would enjoy that anymore, to be honest with you. But, you know, you say, well, God wants us in our right mind. The Bible tells us that. I mean, he wants us to have the mind of Christ, and Christ wasn't stoned. At least not in that sense. And so, I think it's fair to say that there are certain things we ought to turn from. But in order to be saved, one needs to repent. But repentance is an ongoing thing with the Christian. We don't repent just once. We repent every day. We turn every day from things that, listen, I got mad at my wife yesterday. Last night. I'm not going to go into detail. She dared ask me a question that threw my thinking. It exploded. I mean, I'm thinking, where did that come from? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? She's laughing over there because she knows. Yeah. And, I went to my study after I tried to sleep. This was, by the way, after we went out shooting. I was tired. So I came home. About 4 o'clock. My wife said to me, honey, you should take a nap. But right before I got to take a nap, she hit me with this thing. And I'm laying in bed 40 minutes. And I can't sleep. And I'm angry with her. And I finally got out of bed, went to my study, came back about an hour later and apologized. I'm sorry. And I was wrong. I didn't handle it right. You know, folk, repentance is something we do all the time. At least it ought to be our manner of life, that we repent from things that we know are wrong. Repentance is an evidence of the fact that you've been saved. Lastly, one more thing. There's the evidence of the witness. Debbie, if you go to verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Go to verse 8. Yeah, that would be the next slide. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three are one. Next verse. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not the Son of God, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. The witness is an evidence that we have been born again. The Bible says that when a person is saved, God gives him the Holy Spirit, a comforter. And you know, when you have God in you, no matter what, however you look at it, sometimes that's not comfortable. Right? How do I know God is in me? Well, for one, he testifies that Jesus is absolutely the Son of God. That's what the Bible said. There is no question. Jesus is God. There are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Jesus is God, and the Spirit within us testifies to the fact that Jesus is God. You cannot possibly convince me otherwise. You know why? Because I've got the Spirit, the witness, telling me, if you hear that someone says that Jesus is not God, he's making God a liar. And folk, I would not want to stand before the one whom I called a liar, the one who has all power, the one who has the key of life and death and heaven and hell, who holds each of us in his control. Unbelievable. The witness. If we receive the witness of men. I thought about that part of the verse for a second and said, you know, James, do you believe that I am a Christian?
I do.
Okay, you do. That's the witness of men, right? What if James is wrong? The witness of God is greater. Right? You see, it's good. I think it's good that we could look at someone and say, yes, I believe they are a Christian. But as a human being, I could be wrong. Because the fact of the matter is, I only see what's on the outside. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Only God really knows, as well as the person, who may or may not. Because a person can be deceived. They can deceive themselves, according to Scripture. Well, how do I know if I am then? Could I possibly be deceiving myself? The question is, do you have the evidences? That's how you know for sure. It's not whether you feel like you're saved. It's whether the evidences exist in your life. So we have the evidence of the witness of the Spirit of God within us that convinces us that we're saved. I've had someone say to me once, said, "Do you think I'm a Christian?" And my answer really is, "Do you think you are?" Huh? Do you think you are? It doesn't matter. The witness of man doesn't matter. But the witness of God matters everything. So, with that said, let's end it. Okay? Let's pray. Our Father, thank you.